You are listening to the Mission Matters Podcast Network, where we amplify the stories of entrepreneurs, executives, and experts.
You're listening to The Leaders Lab, a new podcast that unpacks lessons from great leaders across all walks of life and turns them into actionable advice to help you on your own leadership journey. Well, I am glad to be here with you today. My name is Kent Eslick, and I have an old friend, Moira Kusaba, coming in. Moira is a top fitness coach and self-taught CEO. Before that, she was the owner of a cold-pressed juice company and a Pilates studio. But about 6 years ago, which is just shortly before I met her, she had two toddlers and a 60-hour work week at another job, and she found a calling to become a health and fitness coach. Now, in record time, Moira went on to, from having this idea, this drive, this goal, to becoming the number one coach in the industry. She did this in record time. She is number one in the entire Beachbody organization. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. Her business is so large, it has changed her family's life generationally. And with transformation comes an opportunity to help others, and she wants the same success for you. She is the host of the Low Bottom High Rise podcast, the Rise Up Planner, and the Rise Up course. I'm excited for you to drop in on my conversation with Moira Kusaba. Moira, so good to see you.
So good to see you, Ken. It's been a few years.
It's been a few years, but I bumped into you. I think I bumped into you at Brendon Burchard. I think I bumped into you at, were you at the influencer conference that he hosted too?
No, I was not. I think the last time we saw each other was a date with Destiny.
Could have been. You were early in this
you
big.
You popped up like a second time. I feel like you were like my group leader at UPW.
Yep.
And then
yep.
I was a date with Destiny and I was like, oh yep. My gosh, again.
Yep. That's absolutely. And I remember the first time I met you, you were early in your Beachbody journey. I mean, like first year, maybe.
For sure. First year. Absolutely. Yeah.
Because I remember you going like, all I want to do is like crack the top 10. And I was like, she's probably going to do it. You seem pretty focused, but it was still such a lofty goal. So Do you want to walk me back to that time frame in your life, getting into Beachbody, all wherever you want to start?
Yeah. Well, I feel like the backstory is kind of pertinent, right?
Cool.
So, and I'm going to try to wrap it up in a short synopsis here, but
no rush.
I've always been an entrepreneur. I've always been a solopreneur. So I, recovering alcoholic. So I got sober when I was 21. So because of my alcoholism, high school, college, I kind of threw away all the dreams, right? I always wanted to be a doctor. I always thought I was going to go into medicine. And that did not go according to plan. And so I ended up getting sober at 21. And I was like, what? I threw all these, you know, you think you threw your whole life away at 21. And so that really was the beginning of a little bit of a more personal development path, right? Kind of a spiritual path, trying to, you know, looking back, I didn't see it then, but I see it now that like a lot of times where people are kind of starting that journey, maybe in their 40s, it's like, I really had the blessing of starting that at a super young age. And so I ended up starting and owning a Pilates wellness studio, kind of got in the wellness space and was hugely successful. You know, it was a great job for me. It was allowed me to do the work that I wanted to do, but it also allowed me to learn how to run a business. And so in mortar, then I had babies and I was kind of like, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. You know, being an entrepreneur, once you tap out on like making it as big as you can make it, doing as much as you can, we get bored really fast.
Sure.
And so I thought I wanted to just be at home with my babies, but like, as much as I love them, that's also, as any mamas will probably relate listening, like I knew that that wasn't it for me. Like I was like, I'm meant to do something else. And so I started a cold press juicing company. And so that was kind of business at a little bit higher level, you know, let's take out a 6-figure loan. Let's like, you know, from the get go, like crush the marketing and this and that. And think about taking it national. And so I did that for 2 years and it was really fun for a really short period of time. You know, businesses, especially brick and mortar, I mean, they own you, right?
Right.
So it was like a massive amount of hours, a massive amount of stress. And I had toddlers at home. So I was like, just, it was soul crushing.
And well, so it's funny because you even refer to it as a job. You call it a job.
Yeah.
You called it that in your bio that I went and read. You called it that just now. So like even the mindset around it, like it probably didn't feel great, right, at the time.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, You know, the interesting thing, and we can get into all these crazy conversations, but I don't know if I've ever shared this, but I wasn't planning on sharing it. But I feel like it's so pivotal to just the entirety of my story and success in general. So I can remember having shut down my Pilates studio, the business I owned for 17 years, the only thing I knew. And it was this giant leap of faith through fear. You know, I can remember just sitting there spinning, being like, what am I doing with my life? Like, what the hell do I think I'm doing starting? I don't even know how to make juice, you know? And so there was, I think to be wildly successful, you have to take big risks, right?
Sure.
So I was headed out to do some training with somebody that I met through some people in San Diego to like learn how to run a juice business. And my business partner called me the day before. And so this was going to be the start of the next chapter, you know, the big thing. And he called me the day before and I remember him saying, please don't kill me. And I was like, what? And, you know, this was a side business for him. And he said, I can't go. And I'm not joking when I say I hung up on him and my knees buckled and I hit the ground in that moment of what am I doing with my life? Like what is happening? And I remember thinking, just keep putting one foot in front of you. Just keep putting one foot in front.
And were you guys going to be 50-50 partners in this? So you're already starting full of self-doubt, whatever. I hate the term imposter syndrome, but kind of, right? I don't know what I'm doing. It's a new industry. And then your support system
backs out.
Is gone too.
I mean, not backs out of the company, but backs out of like the most important trip.
Right.
So I made the decision to still go on the trip, leave my babies. And I remember sitting in the hotel room in San Diego, just kind of spinning. And I was like, just put one foot in front of the other, go to this guy's business, learn. I don't know if we're going to do, you know, I'm thinking, I don't even know if we're going to do this thing. And it wasn't until several years later that it was on that business trip that I met through a random acquaintance, the friend that led me to my coaching career.
To Beachbody.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So that connection, the business that's wildly successful today would have never come to be if I hadn't walked one foot in front of the other, you know?
That's crazy. I know. Yeah. And it's always in those moments where what else could this mean? Right. Like I'm try not to get too hippy dippy about it, but for real, like if you're closed off to that, nothing's going to happen. Right. But if you're sort of open to like possibilities, then you never know what can happen.
Yeah.
So you met someone there, it put a bug in your ear about Beachbody.
Yeah.
Or
you know, the other piece of my background was that, you know, I kind of traded alcoholism for like disordered eating. I think a lot of people do that. So I'd always struggled, even though I was in the fitness world and the Pilates and wellness world, I still struggled a lot. And so I was always desperate for a solution. So when somebody said, hey, join me in this thing, I was like, where do I sign? You know,
right.
So I joined her in like her online boot camp. I'm kind of rolling my eyes like, this is never going to work. I know everything about fitness. You know, I'm the expert. I know everything about nutrition and fitness. And lo and behold, like it was the only thread that gave me life and joy while, you know, my business was kind of killing me. So I kind of went home for this year and a half and just ran myself into the ground with the business. And so I always say, which is kind of a great visual, like my plane was going down in flames. And this girl that I had met, she started coaching not that soon before me. I saw her plane take off. I saw her, you know, start to earn great income, have just this like group of women around her that were uplifting and inspiring and as closed off as I was to it. I was like, I will never be a Beachbody coach. Like that was the furthest thing from my, and that's another piece, right? So often I think the gifts, like our biggest gifts come in a package that we don't think they come in, right?
Right.
I mean, I never, if there is one person that's as hard-headed, like to not be in network marketing, it's me. And I still stand by that actually, because I absolutely believe that Beachbody coaching is different than any other network marketing company because we coach people. It's a service. It's an act. It's not a product, right? So it was radically different. And over this year, when my plane was crashing into flames and hers like looked amazing, I saw that contrast, you know? And this group of women that I was a part of really gave me a lot of life and personal growth. They were kind of doing the inside and the outside work. And so there came a point where I remember sitting down with my husband and, you know, we still have a $100,000 loan to pay back. And I'm like, oh, I think I need to walk away from the juice business and do this coaching thing. That is, you know, you only make money if you change people's lives. It's no guarantee.
Right.
And he knew that I was like dying. You know, my marriage was struggling, our home life, you know, when you have that amount of stress, it's just, everything's a struggle. And So we made another crazy, insane, outside the box decision to do this thing that seemed insane, right? It's like your head is like, this is the stupidest thing you could ever do, like financially, everything, you know, and anyone we talked to, we actually didn't tell anybody. Because we knew we couldn't.
Yeah, you knew no one was putting their seal of approval on that plan. Yeah.
I mean, I remember my mom took my husband out to dinner and was like, what is she doing?
Yeah. You know? Is she crazy? Should I get involved?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And so I tiptoed in a little bit for the first 3 months, but I also don't like to tiptoe into anything. Enneagram 3. And there came a point where I was like, I think this could be like big. You know, and from a business perspective, I saw the income opportunity. And from a heart perspective, I saw the fact that I could actually, which I was closed off to, change lives on a deeper level than I could have ever done in any juice or wellness studio business, because that's what was happening in mine. And that's what was happening with the lives around me. And so I really had to, the big book talks about like, you're at that jumping off place, you know, where you're like, I'm either going to take this huge leap again and do something crazy, but if I'm going to leap and I'm going to go all in, just like balls to the wall, you know? And I knew that I wanted to do it differently too. You know, there's a lot of people that give network marketing a really bad, cheesy name. And I was 100% against that, you know? And so I made that decision. And I think the pivot point there for me was, in my mind, I always thought like, don't be the person that allows your fear of what people are going to say about you ever dictate your actions. Like I would stand behind that. And I realized I was getting ready to back out of something because of the fear of what.
Because of the perception.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that was it. I felt like I heard that message and I was like, I don't ever want to be that person. I don't ever want to be.
So in that, was that like in the, you said in the first few months, so this is around what, 2014, 2015, something like that?
Yeah.
2015. And so it takes you a few months, but then intuition becomes like vision, right? You're like, okay, right. I know where this could go.
Yeah.
I mean, cause you ramped pretty fast. I mean, fastest maybe, I don't know your business that well, but first of all, how many coaches are in Beachbody? There's like over 100,000, right?
Yeah. There's like several hundred thousand. Yeah.
And you're number one in the world?
Well, the world seems lofty, but yes. The definitive answer is yes. Number two. But yes, wow. I was top coach last year. And, you know, I was top 25 in my first full year. So I rose up probably faster. I mean, probably for sure on one hand, you know, the fastest in the history of the company. And it's been around for 20 years. Yeah.
So once you had that clarity of the vision, and Nick Bradley and I were talking the other day, he was on the podcast and we were talking about, he had a lot of success also, just like you did like before his big thing. And sometimes it's like when you find that big thing and then it pulls you, right? Instead of you just constantly reaching for stuff, it's like the goal is so big and so aligned that it pulls you in that direction. It really sounds like that's kind of what happened at that moment.
Yes, 100%. I mean, when I was kind of sitting there teeter-tottering with like the juice business in one hand and coaching in the other, and it wasn't even coaching, it was just this community, this vibe, what was happening over here. It's the pull is like when you find yourself doing things, you know, at 8 o'clock at night when you're like, I could be watching a movie and you're like, no, the only thing I want to do is learn more about this or hear more about this or dig into this more. Like that's the pull, you know,
right.
You want to do it in every crevice.
I hear you.
Yeah.
I hear you. I have such a hard time sometimes explaining to people why I'm not an workaholic. I am an alcoholic too, but workaholic because I'm like, it's different. Like if you're working because you just feel like you have to, or it's just, or I'm just, you know, but Yeah, sometimes you just get so inspired by the work, right? That it's like, no, this is truly what I want to be doing right now. And obviously we got to watch for balance and those kind of things. So this blows up for you. I was mentioning to you right before we went right before I hit record to catch up kind of with where you were. I dove into your podcast, Low Bottom, High Rise, which is awesome. You guys, if you like this podcast, you're going to love that one.
Thank you.
Very similar in that you're looking for these stories of like, okay, who was on the mat, right? And how did they get up and why did they do it? And what is the stuff we can learn from them? Because I think that's really defined your whole career, really, yeah. Right? And one of the things I love about it, and I have a few questions around this, because I was like, well, I'll listen to one or two. I'll listen to her intro. And for me, it wasn't like it was painful homework, but it was homework at first. It's like, I need to do this so I know what's going on with you. And I ended up listening to like 6 episodes in like 3 days. And I think I sent you an Instagram message on one of them, but you're very vulnerable. You're very transparent in it. I think that's probably how you've been as a coach. It's what's drawn people into your world. So I have a couple of questions around it. One that I just listened to today talked about at the exact same time you were being named like the number one beach bot, you know, this big hairy goal that you've had for years. It's like, congrats, come get the prize. And you were like, you were kind of lost in that moment, right? Yeah, I mean, can you talk about that?
Yeah, I think, you know, gosh, when you reach like the goal, you know, this goal that seems completely absurd and out of reach. For me, and I'm still probably kind of processing that, but for me, the realization was like, the joy is truly, and it's so cliche, but it's in the journey, it's in the climb, it's in the work, you know? Right. I had to realize that about myself, that a lot of times when you're hustling so hard, you think like, oh, I just want to not work this hard. Like I just want to get to this time or this space where I don't have to work this hard. Well, the second you hit the goal, you're like, well, now what? You know, like I'm bored. I'm passionless because I don't have the goal, the character to like run to. Right.
So
there is a big realization, and I always still have to remind myself of this, that like anytime I think like, oh, I'm hustling so hard, I'm like, but I love that. That's what I made, you know? Right. And I think so much of it is just that self-talk game of like reminding yourself, like when things get hard in our business, I always remind myself that like, I want to be the last one standing. People are going to quit. People are going to think this is too hard. Like, who do you want to be? The person that bows down to the pressure?
Right.
You want to be the 1% that weathers it and actually rises on the pressure. And
totally. Like, oh, I think
want to be the person that rises.
No, the pressure is cool because there's nothing heroic about stepping up when times are easy. Right. So it's almost like, oh, you know, people are wilting. Cool. Like that's a pretty easy moment, right? To step up and show your worth. You know, you're reminding me of something and I'll send this to you. But for our listeners, there's a guy named Sean Aker. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but he did a TED talk. It's only like 12 minutes long. What he talks about, and I think it'd be cool for us to talk about a little bit, is, and this is society, right? Society he's talking about. He's like a research guy, kind of like a Brené Brown or somebody like that.
Yeah.
He talks about how we put happiness on the other side of achievement all the time. And so it's exactly what we're talking about. It's like, you know, when I get the house, I'll be happy. When I get the car, when I get the girl, when I get the guy, when I get the money, when I become the number one coach. And we've been doing it sometimes for so many years that we're just conditioned that way. And then when you take the stimulus out, again, you're left with, okay, what's next? So in that moment, what did you figure out about yourself? And I'm specifically, I kind of feel like your aha moment, if I'm catching it right, is the surf trip you took with your daughter, right?
Yeah. Well, I did a lot because I really did hit like I don't want to say a bottom at all, but like I hit this place after I became the top coach where I was just, like I said, directionless, purposeless. I hit the highest thing. Like there's nothing else to hit.
Right.
And so it was, you know, why am I doing this? All of that stuff. And also realizing that my personality needs a goal, right? Yeah. Like my personality, you know, because I was actually talking to a coach friend of mine that's like a therapist / coach. And she was like, you know, you just need to like not have a goal. And I was like, I don't think you understand like who I am. You know, I was like, I absolutely believe we always need goals. And it might be to meditate every day, right? Like monks have goals. That was kind of my argument to her. I'm like, they have goals. They're living in a cave, but they have goals. They want to live in a cave. They want to meditate every day.
It's
a goal. So I had to realize, because I'm so driven, that my goals needed to shift a little bit more towards life and joy. Mm-hmm. And so I set a goal. My first idea was like, I was like, I'm going to go surf for 100 days. And then of course I'm like, that doesn't sound fun. And I'm trying to find more fun. You know, I was like, that sounds like too much pressure. And so I was like, I'm just going to go surf 100 waves. And so born out of one of those days of just like kind of staring out the window of like, what is this all for? I mean, I hit the top rank and like, I'm not feeling happy, and knowing that I wanted more quality of life. Because of that low, I picked up my phone and I booked a hotel, like a really nice hotel in Costa Rica for 10 days. And, you know, you can cancel it, right? But what I learned from Tony Robbins is take action in the moments of inspiration.
Yeah.
And take action in the moments of desperation. Yes. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, this wasn't even in the realm of like possibility. I would never think about leaving the country with my 11-year-old daughter without my husband and my son. Like, just kind of not what we would do as a family, right?
Right.
And I called him and I was like, so I just booked a hotel for Coco and I for 10 days in Costa Rica in June. And he's like, okay, like, awesome. And I was like, so I have this goal of like surfing 100 waves. That was kind of part of it. But here's the cool thing that comes out of that. First, remembering that those low moments birth beautiful moments.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
And what was interesting is I was down there and one of my great, great, great friends happened to be there for a month with her family in Costa Rica. And so by, you know, who you surround yourself with, you become, she's like, why don't you guys just come down for a month? And I'm like, okay, let's do it next year. You know, it's like your life just, you start to open yourself up to possibilities that I couldn't fathom leaving for 10 days with my daughter. And now I'm like, yeah, let's do it. You know, let's
sure.
Why
sure.
not? And so it's like, that's kind of how this, you know, people are always like, wow, you live this amazing life. And I also challenge that it's not just because of income. You know, my friend that was down there for a month is my greatest teacher of, you know, she and her family travel the world and her kids are on the East Coast in the fall and the West Coast in the spring. And, you know, they just live this insane outside the box life. And it's not because they're wealthy. It's because they figured it out.
You know, they made a decision and just yeah. went for it. They didn't fall into the rules necessarily.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
That's so cool. So tell me what's happened since then. So I guess that would have been like kind of mid pandemic till yeah. now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, business blew up for us. We were one of the few that were just incredibly blessed by the pandemic because all the gyms shut down. So Beachbody really grew immensely during that season, which was a gift, right? Because what really fills my soul is, I mean, success is fun, but changing lives is really what matters sure. at the heart of it. So I got to not only lead my team, and it was during the first year of COVID that I ended up top coach. And I didn't really think about that until I was being interviewed by the CEO. And he was like, you know, during one of the hardest years of our entire lives, like how in the world did you rise to the top? And I really felt a responsibility to just lead. You know, I can remember hearing the messages of, it gets me emotional, like hearing the messages of like healthcare workers and people like that being on the front lines. And I took that to my team and I was like, you guys, we're health and fitness coaches. Like people are falling into addiction. People are falling into the bottle. People are falling into depression. Like this is what we do. We are on the front lines.
Yeah.
And so that year was really emotional and powerful for us.
Literally just got goosebumps from that yeah. because yeah. that's really inspiring. And what, I mean, it's true, but what a great message to send to your team. Cause it's absolutely true.
Yeah.
I mean, the pandemic caused more drug-related overdoses, more cases of depression, like anything having to do with being in a dark place
yeah.
was heightened during that time. And like you said, you guys had an opportunity to yeah. swing that needle the other way. That's amazing. Yeah.
Absolutely. So, you know, that's the year I ended up top coach and top team. But since then, you ask, you know, so it's hard as personalities like you and I to ever take our foot off the gas.
Mm-hmm.
So I really had to kind of recognize that I needed a season of, I almost said like sabbatical, knowing that my sabbatical is still working a lot. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? But I was like, I like that word, like, because it's temporary. I think that's what my mind needed because I'm all or nothing. So I was like, I don't want to quit doing this, but I need to like just take a step back and into my own, you know, self and heart and children and all of that. And so the last couple years has been kind of a balancing act of really, really still completely showing up for my team and my business, but doing it in a way where temporarily there's been a priority shift, right? For those first 5 years that I built such a massive like organization and business, there has to be sacrifice. If you want to be the tippy top, if you want to make a lot of income, I believe, and there's a lot against this right now with the anti-hustle culture, you know, which I have mixed emotions about. But I believe for me anyway, there was a absolute season of sacrifice. You know, right. I would drop my kids off at school and I would see the moms going on the field trips and I would walk out the door because I had to rush home to like crush my work day. Right. And I was very aware, and this is important, I always had the long-term vision, right? I always had that vision. So it fueled me, you know, I'm not going on the field trip when they're in second grade because I'm going to build freedom. So when they're in eighth grade, ninth grade, 10th grade, all those crazy years, I am 100% available.
Well, yeah, sorry. I'm going for a month to Costa Rica with my 11-year-old daughter. So exactly. Sorry about the missed field trip, but you know, it all comes around, right?
Yes,
so
I've never even thought about that parallel. Yes. Yeah. And I think most people, and this was the only kind of gift I think I had when I stepped into coaching, was I had built two businesses where, you know, you don't earn a paycheck when it's your business. You work really hard for nothing for a while until you start to profit. And so I really understood that. So those, you know, 5 years of building a coaching business, I was completely aware of the level of hard work and sacrifice it takes for the freedom on the far end.
Right.
And I just think most people are coming from an employee mindset and they can't work. You know, I always say, if you want to make $100,000 and you're making zero, you have to show up every single day as if you're getting that paycheck today.
Exactly. Yeah. You're not getting rewarded in advance. That's for sure. And, you know, one thing I was thinking of and maybe this is a little too direct, but I was just thinking about the parallels between, you know, you said when you were a kid, you were like straight A's, doing everything, honor student, sports, top everything. Alcohol comes in, derails everything, derails college, derails life. You're lucky to get out of it, right? All the bad stuff that comes with that. But then you get cleaned up, you get back into business. The way I see it is those businesses were too small for you. You had bigger goals. And so you get bored with them and you get into something that's online, something that can have literally hundreds of thousands, millions of people involved in it. That's pretty big. Like that has some legs that can grow for quite a while.
Yeah.
Do you think there's like a resistance to taking your foot off the gas? Because the last time you did, it was in your dark years when you were really young. Is there anything still tying into that at all?
I don't know. That's a really great question for me to ponder. Absolutely. I love that you just kind of painted that picture. I don't know, but I think what I do know is the fear, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the second you think I'm going to take my foot off the gas, you're like, well, what if this goes away? What if my income starts to drop?
Right.
And the fear of, can I do the next even bigger thing? Right. You know, and this is actually a speech that I'm putting together right now for a keynote. I'm a really big believer on measuring backwards.
Right.
And so it's funny you bring all this up because in my speech, what I see as the visual is if you took me as a brand new coach and like took a picture of me, like, you know, sitting at the bottom of the mountain, like I want to be a top 10 coach,
right.
You know, that's so out of the scope of possibility. There's a thread that I'm like, maybe I can, but it seems so lofty. But if I look back to me being an addict and I think about what I've overcome, what I've gotten through, the businesses I've built, if I every day, like this is every single day, if every single day I measure backwards,
right,
I believe forward is absolutely possible.
That's cool. Yeah. Yeah. I like that a lot.
So I think that society, Instagram, you know, social media, it will build a case against you all freaking day. You know, all day long, you're hit with a comparison game and you're hit with, imposter syndrome and fear and insecurity. And if we don't flex the muscle of building a case for ourselves, like writing down, I remember actually, I think it was like maybe 6 to 8 weeks before the end of the year, I ended Top Coach. And I actually did a UPW virtually right around then. And I don't know if this came sparked from that, but I remember just thinking to myself, I need to sit down and write a few pages out because there was fear. Like, I'm going to go for this at the end of the year. I'm going to see if I can bump the number one girl out, right? I'm going to see if I can claim it.
Right.
And there's all this fear and like, but I don't know if I can, but she's this, but she's that comparison game. And I was like, I need to write down every reason why this makes perfect freaking sense. Mm-hmm. And why it makes total sense why I should be the top coach. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, what I've done should absolutely lead me to this goal. And so I wrote that out in a moment of like peak state inspiration, right? It's like, here's all the facts, like literal facts of what I've accomplished and what I'm capable of. And then every day between that day and the end of the year, fear crept in, insecurity crept
in. I think the looking back thing is so cool though, because you're almost like building your resume to yourself.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Because we just forget it because when we're done with something, it's like, well, I'm done. That's over. Not that we're not proud of it, but it's not like we sit there, you know, every day and just go, oh, I remember that really cool thing I did 2 years ago. Right. But if you sit there and look, like you're saying, at the body of work or at the trajectory of your whole life and you go, damn, okay. Like I've overcome some stuff. I've done some pretty cool stuff. This kind of makes sense. Right. It's not a shot in the dark. It's not coming from nowhere. And a little bit out of context, but going back to like when you started in Beachbody, it's funny because you were probably like, I'm just the same as everybody else. And I'm like, not really. You started two businesses. You had two kids at home. You had everyone in your family saying you were probably a moron for doing what you're going to do.
Right.
So you had heavy leverage to make that happen.
Yeah.
And some experience.
Yeah.
I think if people can, as they're going for these goals, like the vision is one thing, but why are you doing it? Right. What is the leverage? And some people might say, I told you so, or showing someone up isn't part. It's part of it. For me, yeah. It would be. It's like, yeah,
for sure.
I want to shut down the naysayers. Look at Michael Jordan, like, you know, right. From his high school basketball playing days. And so, you know, I think there's part of that. I think there's, you know, your kids. I think there's, you know, all of that can drive you and propel you forward if the vision is clear enough, right?
Yeah. And on that note, what I teach a lot on vision. And So one of the key pieces I always teach is that it has to be multifaceted. And what I mean by that is you have to have exactly what you said, because I want to prove them wrong, because right. I want to send my kids to a private school I can't afford right now, because I want to change the world. Like it has to have all these pieces, because I kind of always make this joke, but it kind of paints the picture. There are days you're going to wake up and you're going to want to strangle your children.
Right.
So the vision of like creating a perfect life for them is not going to matter.
You're like, they don't deserve it. Yeah. Right. And the goal deflates. And I call that like stacking leverage,
yeah.
Right? You're just going to stack the leverage. If you only have one bullet in the gun, you don't have a lot, right? So you need multiple things. I agree completely. Absolutely. The more leverage, the better, right? It makes that more real.
Absolutely. I also heard something else that I'm actually pulling into my speech about vision. And I just want to share this really quick. I always say like, it has to be two parts, meaning it has to be yours. Like, don't ever hesitate on anything that you think is like too grand or too selfish, because my advice is always, if it comes through your mind, write it down, right? Like don't ever play small. And so there has to be this part that's about you, but there also has to be a part absolutely about other people and what this goal is going to mean for the world, what this goal is going to mean for your family, what this goal is going to mean for your community. Because for me, as much as I want all the fancy things and the fun stuff, what really drives me is the impact I can make on other people's lives. And the piece going back about, you know, ourselves, that's so key, I think, is speaking into that identity. And I never really hear identity coupled with vision. And I was studying something the other day and it said, you know, have you ever like tried to implement these habits and change your life and you just like white knuckle it, willpower it. And then of course it falls apart and you just fall back to your old habits. And it's because you haven't shifted your identity of who
right.
you are.
Right.
So a lot of times we work on habits and goals, but we're not reshaping our identity.
And if you don't, even if you can get somewhere, you won't stay there.
No.
Exactly. I had my money mindset was very jacked up from when I was a kid, right? Yeah. And in my 20s, my wife and I built a business that I sold and became a multimillionaire in my early 30s. And it was all like really cool until I lost almost every single dime in the stock market and only reconfirmed or reiterated the story that was still playing in my head, right? It was like, but you didn't belong here. And so we will literally find ways to give stuff back.
Yeah.
And I know to our listeners, if you haven't done that kind of work, you'll be like, wow, that's BS. Well, look at every lottery winner ever.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Have you ever heard of a successful lottery winner? Right. Like, oh, this guy invested his $5 million and turned it into 10. You never hear that. It's always like gone in a few years. And it's because they haven't changed their identity. And it's not their IQ and it's not any of that's their identity. They don't feel like they deserve it. And the number one force in the human personality is to stay consistent with our identity. So you're absolutely right. You have to think about what you're trying to do and become the person that you need to be to get there. Yeah. Not when you get there, before you get there, right? Yeah. And hopefully now. And in your business, especially in you know, like fitness and weight loss and everything, I remember I lost 50 pounds maybe 15 years ago. And it came from, you know, an act of desperation. I think I was, you know, when you do stuff in high school and you're like, oh, I'm still that. Like if you play football, you're like, I'm still a football player. And it's no, you're just a fat 40-year-old, you know, but I'm like, I'm still a runner. I can do it. And my brother-in-law asked me to run a 5K for charity. And I was like, sure, I'll bang out a 5K. No problem. And, you know, I was miserable. I was a mess. And my identity.
Yeah.
Got just blown up. I was like, this isn't who I mean, I was so pissed off at myself, right? I was like, this isn't who I am. And I started running every single day. And within 9 months, did a full marathon, lost 50 pounds, kept it off ever since, made fitness a priority, completely transformed that part of who I am. Yeah. But we have to do it in different areas, right? You have to do it with your relationship, with your, you know, with money, with fitness, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I think with career, that's such a big part of it. So what's next for you? You've got all of this going on now. Everything seems to be coming together. You're finding a balance between all of it. It sounds like.
Yeah. Well, what's coming up? I'm not 100% sure what's next, but I've gotten some clarity on it. I was actually just in El Salvador and, you know, I'm a big believer in, well, things take time, you know, but it's really hard in your everyday life to gain clarity and perspective, you know? Right. And so, and I think you have to be aggressive in seeking out what's next, right? Like you can't just sit there and think it's going to come to me. It's going to find me. So when I was actually in El Salvador, I messaged like a bunch of very high level thought leaders. And I was like, just send them the same message. And some of them I do know, and some of them I don't. And I was like, this is my situation, right? Like I'm kind of stuck. And so I'm never afraid to ask anybody anything. And that coupled with, I was actually reading Ed Milet's new book, One More Something. And he kept, and I almost just played things down and said, not that this is going to happen, but I shouldn't do that. Right. So he kept saying in his book, like referencing making $100 million and $100 million. And I had never entertained that number in my brain.
Right.
And by opening up what was like, by thinking of a much higher possibility, and I'm not about income, you know, I'm about impact. And I'm also, one of my favorite sayings, and this might be from Tony, is like, you know, when people say they don't care about income, they've never had enough money to give it away. So with more, I don't need anything else for myself. Like, I don't, you know, it doesn't matter. But making more income allows me to create the change I want to create in the world, right?
Sure.
Saying 100 million, that unlocked possibilities that I'd never entertained, right? Mm-hmm. And one of those thought leaders, when he messaged me back, he said, well, what do you want to do? Where do you want to be in 5 or 10 years? And I was like, I have no idea what I want to do. And I have no idea where I want to be in 5 or 10 years. That coupled with kind of just perusing that question and being almost stuck in like, oh, I don't know what I want to do, you know, but unlocking that 100 million made me think of things that just wouldn't have been available to my brain.
Right.
So right now, I mean, and this is, I think a lot of times where really successful people may, this may help them. I think it's really important to take seasons, or like, I like to look at things like a year at a time, almost. Like this year, I was like, I'm doing the podcast this year. I'm launching the podcast. You know, next year I'm thinking about doing a membership. And then I like to have a plan, but I'm totally open for it to change. Mm-hmm. A year after that, I'm like, you know, I want to write a book. And so I like to have those goals laid out. So that's kind of what the next few years look like. But it's also because of where my children are in their age, they're 12 and 14. I also know that I can navigate these next 5 years. Mm-hmm. And my priority and my intention is to be completely just not miss anything. You know,
I think with that comes a lot of freedom too. That's cool. Yeah. That's cool.
That there's a season that I can pull back the throttle a little bit, have a little bit more, you know, intimacy with my family and quality time and fun. But that doesn't mean in 5 years, I'm not hanging it up. You know, right. There's something else. I mean, there's something else huge. We talked about 100 million. There's something else huge coming.
Right.
You know, so that's also for me to be able to say, but that's going to happen down the road is really exciting, but gives me the freedom that I'm craving right now.
Right. To be flexible now during this time that you want to be flexible. Last few years with the kids at home, all of that. Which sounds weird when they're only 12, but it really is, right? 6 more years, 5 more years.
Yeah, 5, 6 more years, and that's it. And, you know, and when you get really clear on your priorities at different seasons, like I said, I don't regret any bit of sacrifice that I made for the years that I built my business, not for one second. It's given us so much, right? And I want to just speak to that for a quick second, because I sacrificed a lot of, you know, time with my kids when they were little. But they wouldn't have the relationship with their dad that they have. If I had been around 24/7, they wouldn't have the relationship with their grandmother. They wouldn't be who they are because they saw hard work. They saw late nights. They saw me sacrifice. They saw early mornings. That taught them way more than I could have ever taught them just sitting around with them 24/7, right? They saw me not hit goals. They saw me hit the highest goals. And so just them seeing that by example was so just huge. And now, like, aligning with what is important now, you know, like, I was actually hosting a retreat down in Florida a couple months ago, and my son had like an 8 o'clock baseball game. And I was like, okay, I'm going to get up at 2:45 and make the 5 a.m. flight because I'm not willing to miss it anymore, you know? Right. And that feels so freaking good in my heart.
Oh yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah.
That's so cool. A couple of questions for you. So I noticed that most of your work, so Beachbody has both men and women in its organization, right? But is it like 80% women, 20% men, or like, what does it look like? It's
probably 90-10 maybe. Yeah.
Okay. And then most of your stuff, even though it's mindset and general leadership, you really appeal to women in the work that you do. Yeah.
Yes. But I think that's because most of that coaching was Beachbody, therefore female, but absolutely. I mean, everything we speak about speaks to male.
Right. There was nothing through your website that I was digging through that seemed gender specific. And you know, what's funny, what made me even think about contacting you to be on the podcast was I like looking at new stuff, right? I like, you know, time management. I like all kinds of stuff. And I'm on Amazon one day and your planner comes up and I'm like, I know her. Like, that's a unique last name. You know what I mean? It's not like there's a ton of you out there. Well, congratulations really on all your success. Anything that we didn't touch on that you want to touch on for these guys before we wrap it up?
You know, just before we wrap up, I think you and I briefly touched on it before we hit record was, you know, you said like kind of go back to that pivotal point that changed the game for you.
Yeah.
And yes, it was finding something that pulled me, that lit my soul on fire, you know, but I also think where we met, you know, doing Tony's work with an insatiable appetite, not just reading his book or listening to a podcast, like that's not going to cut it. You know, like you got to go all in with personal growth. And again, I think you have to listen to that like inner guidance. So I always think back to that Unleash the Power Within event that completely helped to radically change the course of my entire life. I mean, it took down all those self-limiting beliefs and took me absolutely to the next level. So I give a lot of credit to that, But what I remember is there were coaches kind of in my peripheral vision that were going to Tony Robbins. And I again was like, well, that's not in the cards for me. Like, I'm barely making any money yet. Mm-hmm. My husband would want to strangle me. He already wants to strangle with me, you know, because I've done all this like career switching and everything. Right. And I couldn't ignore. One morning I woke up and I was like, I'm supposed to go to this event. I didn't even know anyone that was going. Like, I saw people, but I didn't know who those people were personally. And so I think I reached out to somebody at Tony Robbins and had a conversation. And I was like, oh, it's on my son's birthday, you know? And I just knew that I had to go. Right. And so I didn't have the time. I didn't necessarily have the spousal support. I didn't have the money. It was the worst timing with my son's birthday, but I figured it out. You know, right. I think they did a daddy and son camping trip, which was like the birthday that he still talks about, you know, 7 years later. He didn't miss mom that day. Right. Celebrated right. Her birthday when I got home. Right. You know? And I think that just speaks to like, you've got to make these leaps of faith. You got to go all in. You can't, you know, just skim the surface and ever expect big things to happen.
Right. And by the way, I'm remembering it clearly now. We actually met at Date with Destiny because we were on the same team for like a week. Yeah. And what I do remember as you're talking about it was the level of participation. And what's weird, I didn't intend for the podcast. The podcast so far has been recovery and Tony Robbins, right? Which I guess, Well, so many people that I've met through those arenas, and they're doing amazing things because of those two things. Right. And so I interviewed Nick Bradley, who's on right before this episode, and same thing. It was like, you know, not only went there and dove in, but as a coach in that environment, we're trained to like kind of survey the landscape. And what you really notice isn't the, let's say there's 75 people on a team, the 65 in the middle, or let's call it 55 in the middle, they're going to kind of do their thing and we're going to support them, right? It's the 10 that are ready to pop off in a good way and the 10 that are really struggling where all the coaches spend their time primarily. And that's not a formula that they gave me. That's just what I do.
Yeah.
Because the ones really struggling, we got to support them. And the ones doing great, we got to support them too, because they're going to do massive things in the world. And I just remember you being there again and being early in that journey. I'm like, oh my God, she's about to take off. And I said the same thing to Nick yesterday. I'm like, maybe there is a bit of a theme to this podcast because, you know, it's people that have taken the time on themselves to go in and really grind it out and do the work. And the other thing I'm noticing about you is you're still doing it. You're reminding me that I need to get back in a room and work on my goals a little bit, right? Like you just did. That's my dog, George. I'm surprised we haven't heard him up until now. But it's just a reminder to me and hopefully to everyone listening to this that the work is never done. Yeah. I mean, you've built this massive, massive business and you're still looking for mentors. You're still asking people the question of what's next. You're still jumping into, you know, a UPW online a few months ago because that's what's available at the time, you know, and I respect your commitment.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. And I can't imagine a person that says growth isn't the thing that just lights them up, you know? And so when you say what's next for me, that's kind of where I'm finding the balance. I'm like, I need a week to go to this intensive thing that I haven't had time for in my life in the last 7 years. Like I want to do that 3 times a year if I can. So yeah, that's time away from my business or time away from my family again, but it's what's going to bring me to the next level. Like that's what I'm craving right now. And then when that next giant thing happens in, you know, 5 years, I will be so ready for it.
Yeah.
Because of the work that I'm going to do. Because it was kind of like I did all this work and then I poured it into everybody. And I'm like, I want the work again. I want somebody to pour into me. I want to be a student. You know?
Yes.
And that's where I'm at right now. I'm just in this insatiable appetite for knowledge.
You're ready for growth. That's been your path. Build and then grow and then build and then grow. And then not that you're not growing along the way, but right. Big growth followed by massive learning opportunities and all of that. So good to see you. Thank you so much for joining us today. And come back anytime. I love your podcast, by the way.
Thanks for having me, Ken. I appreciate it.
Okay. You got it. Take care.
Yep. You too.
Thanks for joining us today for my conversation with Moira Kusaba. Boy, Moira's awesome. It was so good to reconnect with her. And you can find out more about Moira by following her online on Instagram at Moira Kusaba. Look for her Low Bottom High Rise podcast on Apple Podcasts as well as Spotify, and take a look at her website for the Rise Up Planner and Rise Up course. Please follow the Leaders Lab on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you are listening today. Thanks again for joining us. We'll see you next week.
This has been a Mission Matters Network production. Listen to this show and browse our entire catalog by visiting missionmatters.com.